welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
All right, so what we have here...
is failure to communicate?
Yes.
Okay.
But that is a constant scenario between me and the WWE.
Very true.
I think my entire relationship with the entire wrestling promotion could be summed up in a failure to communicate.
Well, yeah, seeing as how you're yelling at the TV and they're not listening to you.
Exactly. Well, no, I brought large pieces of cardboard with my desires written upon them to hold up for everyone to see whenever I would go to a show.
But you do realize how far up we were and how little those words must have been to them.
Shut up. Thus the failure to communicate.
Okay.
No.
I'm just saying, you know, taper your expectations a little bit.
What we actually have here,
yes,
in this situation,
mm-hmm.
henceforth, we are fast approaching Elimination Chamber.
Yes.
And I've decided to be hopeful again.
Okay. Well, yeah, last week we did kind of just crap on everything.
Last week we did, and that was really hot on the heels of the previous 2 weeks also doing the same thing.
Right, and this Monday Night Raw wasn't much difference, but... at least we have a pay-per-view.
Exactly.
You know, ahead of us.
And I feel like this is that we can just kind of like get this out of the way and focus on WrestleMania. And things can actually start getting into place, falling for WrestleMania. And now, let's be very clear. When you want me to pay $50 to $60 to watch something, you don't want me to have an attitude of get this out of the way for it.
Right.
So, no, I think...
What if...
I think you have...
What about when you're paying $9.99 for it?
I mean, no.
Is that okay, then?
Once it gets bundled in the thing, yeah, that stings a lot less.
Okay.
But, yes, I'm just still saying, like, you have failed in the build-up to this pay-per-view.
Yes.
Nothing in the past month has made me really excited for Elimination Chamber.
Nothing short of Wyatt and Shield and anything involving Cesaro.
Yeah.
But everything else, yeah, I'll agree with that.
Yeah, I mean...
Oh, interesting thought, just kind of along that vein. I think I got my own version of Pat this past...
Oh, yeah?
On my 10 Thoughts column this week. I made a joke at the expense of the super awesome main event of Monday Night Raw of, you know, Sheamus and Norton, a.k.a. a rematch of... that infamous match after the night after WrestleMania,
yeah,
where the entire crowd crapped on it for
the rest of the show,
the entire show, yeah. So I made a joke at that expense, and this guy just completely just had it. basically, I made references that, you know, given this booking's history of these two men, that match really should just be. I don't know if barred is the right word, or abeyance. Someone said this match should be put on abeyance. And I'm like, okay, still don't know what that word means, but it sounds nice. And, you know, the guy just went up and down with me, like, oh yeah, they did it because of the storyline. You couldn't have avoided that match because of the storyline. I was like, oh really? Of all the times that WWE decided to remain consistent, this is the one time that they picked that? You know, where was this, you know, on all the other millions and millions and millions of storylines that they've done? Probably not millions, but whatever.
But whatever.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I found the one guy who was willing to stick his neck out for Orton versus Sheamus. Just like you found that one guy who would stick his neck out for Sheamus.
And you know what? Like, fair's fair, I'm not mad at Sheamus right now.
No.
Really, that's because... Sheamus has done nothing. Like, I honestly, if we didn't have it...
Nothing is being focused on Sheamus right now.
If we didn't have the lineup of, you know, what the matches are in front of us right now, I would not be able to guarantee you that I knew Sheamus was in the Elimination Chamber.
Had they, like, because I get the storyline. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Orton had to face every single one of his Elimination Chamber opponents.
Yes.
Why you decided to end on Sheamus, I don't know. The fact that it is your go-home show and it is your main event... for the night, and this is the one Raw that they decided that the WWE Championship holder should have the last match of the night, and you decided to wait till now for Sheamus.
Honestly, and this is a very serious time heals all wounds kind of situation, but I think that Randy Orton and John Cena put on a good enough match
last week. Yeah, that could have been the last one.
that if that had happened this week and Sheamus and Orton had happened last week, as much, I still would have stood strong as never do Cena and Orton again because we're tired of it forever.
Right.
But I think that I might not have been as down on it week.
And I do understand why they did Cena and Orton last week, because they're in a big market city, you know, LA, so they wanted a big marquee match. I get that. But that still leaves, what, four other guys that, you know, and take out Christian because, you know, he's made out of, you know, ice cream.
Yes.
But you still got the most over guy in the company right now, Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
He was, like, the first one they put Orton up against, I believe.
Yeah.
Because that was the night, I believe that was the night after Royal Rumble, where he did the first match. And then, you know, Cesaro. And yeah, I guess they had that at SmackDown. But it would have been such a bigger moment if Cesaro actually beat Orton on Raw instead of SmackDown.
Yeah.
But fine, whatever. I'm just saying they could have shuffled the dumb thing around. They could have tucked Sheamus and Orton away somewhere on SmackDown where no one will see it.
Yeah. And again,
it would be fine.
As thrilled as I am that Sheamus is not the main focus of anything, I don't take this as to I wish Sheamus would be the main focus of anything.
No.
But, yeah, Sheamus is not your biggest name right now. He came back with a woo for the Rumble, like we all knew he would. But yeah, he's kind of done nothing. He doesn't have his own story because they need to fill six pods with big deal people.
Right. And he just happened to come back at around that time.
Right, exactly.
Right.
So,
as of right now, we're okay with Sheamus being back, but Orton and Sheamus, I understand we're going to get that match a few more times in our lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. I'm not saying, I'm just saying that we really shouldn't.
Fair enough.
I think the audience has set a precedent from the last one. Mm. No one wants to see it, so stop making it happen.
Fair enough. I'll agree with you.
Because again, not saying anything about those two individual, like, you know, on their own, but together, they have no chemistry.
Yeah.
And that is the biggest thing.
Yeah, I can't think of a good Orton and Sheamus match ever in the history of ever.
Neither can I.
I can think of a Sheamus and Cena match that I liked.
Yeah.
Like,
I think the closest that we can come to it is, I believe Orton was involved in that Fatal 4-Way for the World Heavyweight Championship back in 2011 that Sheamus had.
Maybe.
Del Rio and Jericho.
Yeah.
I believe it was those four. I remember that I had very fond memories of that match.
Okay.
Except for he decided to break out White Noise, and I hate that move.
I know you do.
Yes.
All right. I want to take a real quick look before we jump into the card.
Okay.
I've been reflecting, going over this, trying to decide where we went wrong in the build-up to Elimination Chamber.
Okay.
First reflexive thing is I want to blame it on Punk.
For him not being around.
For that's all I care about. And maybe that's my fault. That is my fault. That's all I care about is I want you to tell me Punk information.
Right.
And you're not doing it.
Well, from what I understand, WWE did finally say something.
That he has not been released.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yes.
Because there was a rampant rumor over the weekend that they had, you know, quietly given his release on Friday, I believe.
If he was released, he would not be on the... He's still in the superstar lineup.
Right.
On the website.
Right. By now he would have... Somebody would have said something by now if that was actually the case.
Yes. So, again, maybe that's my fault.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that the CM Punk versus, I think, what would have been Kane for the Elimination Chamber would have had a lot more time on the show that they kind of had to fill with nothingness.
Right.
So I think that was a problem.
Now we're getting...
I think that was supposed to be, like, their number two match underneath the chamber match itself.
That's what they were planning, yes.
Yeah, so...
And now, instead, we've been getting these weird, like, Kane disrupting Daniel Bryan
matches. Exactly.
Which really... There's a little bit of history there with, you know, the Authority and whatever. But there's not much else being developed.
Right. Okay, so I think that went wrong.
Okay.
Honestly, can't fault the WWE for that.
Right, because they want to have Punk there.
Right. I think they might could have quick scrambled something better together.
Right.
Like, okay, this is our number two match, let's start getting some promos from these people. Right. Which is kind of what the Wyatt Shield thing has done as best it could.
Yeah.
But that it didn't have what I think the grandiose of you need to pay money for this match that they were hoping for on Punk and Kane.
Okay.
Largely with Punk's promos.
Right.
I think that Batista winning the Rumble, I think that...
And Daniel Bryan not even being in the Rumble.
Well, whatever about that. But the fact that Batista isn't there to constantly, you know, point at the sign and talk to the people in the Elimination Chamber, being like, you know, you think the chamber's hard, wait till you, even if you win the chamber, you have to go through me, and that's where the real blah-de-blah begins.
Okay.
That kind of thing. So, it feels like there's zero WrestleMania build-up from the Rumble to the chamber this year.
Because Batista's just, all he's doing is focusing on Del Rio.
Right.
Right.
For the amount of time he's there, which is...
Very minute. Like, I think last week, or this past week on Raw, he had one backstage segment.
Right.
Where he pushed Del Rio, who had a neck brace on.
Right.
Hashtag not a fix.
So yeah, I think it feels a lot more like it's a build-up to, you know, like, a Night of Champions or Extreme Rules level at pay-per-view.
Right.
Instead of, like, this, you know, benchmark on the way to WrestleMania. Because there's so little talk about WrestleMania.
Right.
And that just makes it feel like, to me, the absence of WrestleMania talk and sign pointing and stuff is noticeable to the point of, like, they don't know what they're going to do for WrestleMania.
Yeah.
It's WrestleMania 30 and they have no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Everything is so thrown together in flux. Yes. Nothing is going to work.
No.
Oh, and I just forget about the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
So, that being said, the Elimination Chamber is this week.
It is. And, hooray for that. I mean, there are a couple
matches. Honestly, like looking at the card, I'm like, yeah, I'm excited, or at least interested in every card, every match on this card. There is nothing that I'm dreading. I'm not dreading that either.
Okay, I just make sure you saw all of it. It wasn't all scrolled down.
No, okay. I looked at the card before this. I know what's on the card, and I'm not dreading any match on this card.
Well... I'm not, okay, we'll get to it, but there's one match I'm not necessarily thrilled about.
Okay, alright, fair enough. Alright, but let's go through the match. Let's break down the card.
Let's start off with the kickoff, whom we don't know who's going to be on the panel yet.
No panel.
So we're just assuming it's probably going to be Titus O'Neil. He's on the card. No,
he's on the card.
Wade Barrett.
Wade Barrett will be there.
Dolph Ziggler and Kofi.
Is that your official prediction?
That's my official prediction for the panel.
You don't have a legend on there?
They would have announced it by now.
Oh, okay,
they would have
enough.
They would advertise that.
I, you're right. You're right.
Bam.
All right. Fair enough.
Are we going to track my panel predictions?
Might.
Okay. Kickoff show for some reason is Kodust and Curtis Axel and Ryback.
Why is this not a number one contender stipulation?
I don't know. Like I feel like that would make sense if, you know, if they want to make this match, you know, mean something.
Yeah.
But instead, it just seems like a random Brawl tag team match that we would get any other week.
Like, it almost feels like whoever wins this match will use this as a justification to go after the titles again, which, you know, makes total sense. Storyline-wise, you know, that totally works, especially on the road to WrestleMania. So, why not actually make it a number one contenders thing? Especially if, skip ahead, you're going to have the New Age Outlaws defending the titles at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and make this for the WrestleMania match against whoever wins this.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I feel like the...
Unless they're iffy on if they even want the tag team titles on...
Defended at WrestleMania.
Because it's very rarely that... The tag team title is actually defended on WrestleMania.
That's fair, but if they said it's for the number one contendership, they didn't officially say it was at WrestleMania.
Yeah, they do that all the time.
But left the, you know, ... there for us to be like, it might be, this is for a WrestleMania match. This is who gets to fight at WrestleMania. Right. And let us fill in that blank.
Yeah, all they had to do was just say it was a number one contendership, and you can fill in the blanks all you want.
Right.
Right, and they could add it onto the card, or they could take it off, and then, you know, technically, they're not wrong.
Right, but... I don't know, I feel like, and again, I think so much is about to change because of the network, I feel like the kickoff show has always been a like last-ditch effort to get... Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not a secret. It's a last-ditch effort to try and get buys.
Yeah.
It's to get people to tune into this kickoff show.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that'll be different once the whole network and that's how you get your pay-per-views kind of thing happens.
Yeah.
But since its inception, this kickoff show has kind of fallen flat in what they want to do. And yeah. I understand you don't make it... You don't put your, you know, the championship on there. I totally get that. But I would be so much more interested, invested in this match, invested in... I got to be sure to see this kickoff show.
Yeah.
Because I'm seeing who is going for the championship next. In parentheses, maybe who is getting a guaranteed WrestleMania match at this point.
Right.
So...
But they didn't, so...
But they didn't, so...
We got what we have.
Yeah, it's fine, sure. I don't know, Curtis Axel and Ryback were, like, the epitome of guys that were not clicking for me on their own.
Yeah.
Not a super well with the tag match, either.
The tag match?
The togetherness in their tag match. Like, but sure.
Right.
I mean, I think they'll be fine, and I think I like the brothers so much more. I'm gonna say... Codust.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna agree with you on that.
The only thing is if you want the how badly you want the Cody Rhodes Gold Dust match at WrestleMania.
Yeah. Which, you know, people are saying that it's not gonna happen, but whatever.
Right.
But then again, that could just be people saying that.
Well, it's closer now than it's ever been.
Right.
That's the thing. It's like we're so close, you guys.
We're closer in the fact that both guys are in the company at the same time.
Both guys are active in the company.
Yeah.
And interact with each other on a weekly basis. It's not like they're on, you know, one of them's GMing main event while one of them's, you know, on SmackDown.
Yeah, they're actively together, yeah.
Yes.
I will give this two maths, both maths, being earned by Codust.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will accept.
I'm glad you were. Okay, so as we usually do, we start with the least important match and move our way up. As according by importance. So
to
that
Chris.
By that being said, we start off with Batista versus Alberto Del Rio. This is the one match I don't really care for, and it's a match to try to convince the audience that the right man won the Rumble.
Right.
Which means this match is going to have to be pretty quick, and Del Rio is going to get buried a lot.
You think?
I mean, you know...
I mean, okay. See, for me, I mean...
This is just like Alberto Del Rio going up against Kofi Kingston, like, 2 years ago. At Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, but I don't feel like they need to prove to me... Like, Del Rio was fresh out of the gate pretty quickly.
Yeah.
He won his first ever Royal Rumble less than a year back. They don't have to prove to me that, in kayfabe, Batista is a good wrestler. Like, that's been long proven to me. What needs to be proven to me now is that Batista, the person... can put on a good match still.
Right.
Batista, the person, can go the distance in a decent 20 to 30 minute match.
And that's probably...
And not look rock levels of winded.
Right. That's why I think this is going to be a quick match. Because I don't think they even want to chance it. Because that goes into, you know, making sure that the right guy won the Rumble, blah, blah, blah. Is that, you know, they're going to make this a very quick match. And, you know, Batista won't really have a chance to get winded. I'm not saying, like, you know, comes out, hits Batista bomb, pin, done. You know,
But you're saying less than 10 minutes.
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
I'll give it about 7 minutes.
Okay.
Not including entrances.
Bell to bell.
Bell to bell.
Bell to bell, 7 minutes.
Yeah.
I think that's a mistake. I really do. I mean, and again,
well, I'm not saying that's the way it's supposed to be, but...
Maybe Batista...
That's what I'm predicting.
Maybe Batista can't go the distance, and that's a big problem.
Right.
You know, like, that's a very real possibility.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think this match has the most to prove.
Okay.
And that's my biggest interest in this match, is not who wins it, but can Batista look like he should be, you know... Because that's what it needs to do, is it needs to make me excited to see Batista in the ring again.
Right.
And which, I was about a solid, you know, 8 minutes of excited for Batista to be in the ring.
Right.
Since they announced his return.
Yeah. So basically, you're just interested to see what kind of ring shape Batista really is in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we saw a little bit at Rumble, but it's easier to tell when you, the guy's going one-on-one against
you. Yeah, one-on-one, because that's the kind of match where they'll theoretically have at WrestleMania. Right. Like a one-on-one match. You know, and he needs to, yeah, look good in the ring.
Interesting thought I just had. If it does show that Batista's not in the greatest of ring shape,
mm-hmm.
do you think that will be a factor in if WWE decides to make the championship a triple threat match? Because that would essentially give him some moments in the match.
Get some sleepy time,
yeah.
The
Big Show effect, I'm saying.
Yes. I think that...
Because I would think it would have to be in the back of their mind after, if that's the case.
I think it depends on how Batista can get over with the crowd.
Okay.
And that's a big thing, you know, like, if he is tired and if he looks winded... But the crowd still goes crazy for him if they get the right crowd at Elimination.
Because, well, then it's going to be look like, oh, he's going through a war right now or whatever. Yeah.
Right. I mean, you can spin a winded dude.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and, yeah, like, The Rock was never getting a triple threat.
No.
Like, you know, there have been, I read an article during The Rock's match, The Rock's, after his first WrestleMania match, basically when his second WrestleMania match was announced.
Okay.
And it scientifically broke down in minutes and seconds, The Rock at WrestleMania versus The Rock against Chris Jericho at something else during his prime, and like showed the percentage of the match that The Rock had was offensive versus, you know, resting versus, and just like scientifically overanalyzed like how out of ring shape The Rock was. Like, oh, wow. Somebody is upset.
And have a lot of time in their hands.
Exactly.
Like, I have a lot of time in my hands, but I spend it on important things, like Minecraft and House of Cards. Like, come on.
So, you know, but all this, you know, people were so bad at how theoretically out of ring shape The Rock was and how bad John Cena carried The Rock that whole time,
right.
Specifically on in-ring work, The Rock was never getting a triple threat match.
No.
Because
it's The Rock.
Because it's The Rock, but because of the noise that the crowd makes when it's The Rock.
Yeah.
And if Batista can get enough crowd noise, he'll get his singles match.
Yeah.
If he can't, and this is the moment that if he can't, I think that some definite triple threat options will be starting to, you know, spun out. But yeah, no, this is the match I'm most interested in to see what it has to prove.
Okay.
That means that Batista has to win. I think it's the most guaranteed win of the night, too.
No, there's no doubt in my mind that this is the most guaranteed win of the night. Yeah, Batista's winning.
Yeah.
There's no way in the world their main event for WrestleMania is going to lose here.
Yeah.
So. Like, something tragic would have to happen for him to even be counted out.
Even if Batista loses, like, genuine cleanly in the ring to, like, you know, a perfect finisher from Del Rio, if he taps to an armbar, I'm like, something went wrong.
Yeah.
He botched that tap.
It was a signal that went wrong. He didn't mean to tap. He was trying to signal the ref to do something.
So, yeah, no, I think Batista's guaranteed win.
I give it one math.
Really? One math?
One math.
See, I'm...
Because I am being very pessimistic about this.
You one. Are. I'm just like, this one can run the gamut for me. Like,
it could.
I'm just...
But I'm saying it's
this
not.
Could be anywhere... I feel like the potential is there. Because if I can get behind this match... Like, I'm rooting for him here. I'm rooting for this match.
Okay.
I don't have a lot of faith in it.
Fair enough.
But I am so rooting for this match. This is the underdog match.
Yeah, no, it's hard for me to put Batista and underdog in the same sentence.
Batista's not an underdog, nor is Del Rio. Nobody's an underdog in the match. The match itself is an underdog match.
I understand.
Match. The match, these two guys have to come together to overcome odds to make me like Batista again.
I understand the thought, the reasoning of it. But still, the juxtaposition is hilarious in my mind.
Fair enough.
Okay. Next up, we have the rivalry match between Darren Young and Titus O'Neil. I didn't even think that this rivalry was like big enough to warrant a pay-per-view match just yet. But then again, I don't think that they're going to get a WrestleMania match.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. So, it's like, do they wait till the next one? Because that's WrestleMania.
It's either this or, you know, what, 4 months from now at Extreme Rules.
Yeah.
So
I think they're making the good call here.
Yeah.
I think this. I mean, this is something that we've seen very little of. I assume it's other shows have expounded upon it.
Yeah, I'm making the same assumption that SmackDown's kind of expanded on.
Yeah.
Their whole breakup.
But you know what? It's kind of nice. I think I was the biggest mistake I feel like I have made as a wrestling fan is being very passionate about ending the brand split. Because I think that's done nothing but hurt SmackDown.
Right.
I think it's done nothing to help Raw. I think it's just hurt SmackDown.
Yeah.
So, the fact that this, I mean, this is, you know, I'm not saying this is a step towards returning to a brand split kind of thing, but the fact that, you know, I was like, and I'm like, oh.
They're using SmackDown to further a different story that doesn't have time from Raw. Like, right. They, like, it started on Raw, and they had a thing on, I believe they had a thing on Raw this past Monday.
Yeah.
But everything else has been handled on SmackDown just because they didn't have time for it.
Right. And they also mentioned, like, Randy Orton had, you know, when we were talking about he had to fight each of his opponents. Like, some of those happened on SmackDown.
Right.
So, I don't know, just like, oh, these things on SmackDown count again.
Right.
Back up. What's this? So, but yeah, with, I mean, honestly, I don't know. It feels like this is just a blood feud. Like, I don't know when's the last time. Like, I know Batista and Del Rio is kind of the same thing. It's just two guys that hate each other. They need to settle their differences in the ring.
But not, like, two guys that broke up.
Right. I mean, we haven't really had that since maybe Miz and Alex Riley. Like, a really good.
Yeah. I mean, it still happens. You know, because all tag team matches have been like this.
Rhodes Scholars was close.
Rhodes Scholars was probably the last one that we had.
Yeah.
In that vein, yeah.
So, but this one, I mean, it works for me. It's two guys that have started to impress me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still more partial to Titus, but, you know, I do recognize that Darren Young has, you know, come leaps and bounds.
Darren Young gets constant most improved awards.
Yeah, and I'll give that to him very much, but I do recognize he still has a little ways to go.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I don't see him actually wrestle on his own a lot. Like, a lot of the stuff that we've seen lately is tag team stuff.
Yeah.
So, maybe, you know, we'll see something more now that they're both single, you know.
I mean, I'll three stars this.
I'll three math it, but all right. Okay. All right. Who's your winner?
I'll go Darren Young.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'll go with that, too.
All right.
He's the face, and Titus has pretty much been getting the, you know, the upper hand most times. Yeah. Except for the, you know, on SmackDown when he got his suit shredded.
Yeah. I mean, do you think Titus can survive a defeat like this?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, like, the one who is most ready for a single run right now out the gate is probably Titus, because he's got... He's got the bigger personality right now.
Right.
So if anyone can survive a loss right out the gate like this, it would be Titus. You know? Yeah. I think Darren Young would need it more.
Would need the win more?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Next up?
Next up, we will go with... let's go with the Tag Team Championship. New Age Outlaws going up against the Usos.
New Age Outlaws.
Really?
Yeah.
No? Like, Usos don't even get a chance? Even though they kind of got a pretty decent push in the last couple months.
Yeah, New Age Outlaws. I got to assume, well, the only thing is if they are trying for the championship again at WrestleMania, I just got to feel like they're going to hold it to WrestleMania.
Okay.
I think that they're here for that kind of nostalgia. You know, the Outlaws are back. They're back for real. Come watch WrestleMania. Like, because it's the WrestleMania of your childhood. See, we have the Outlaws as tag team champions.
Right. Okay, I mean, that makes sense, but I feel like the Usos have more of a chance to win it now than they did when they were going up against the Shield.
Oh, I think so, too.
And probably more of a chance, you know, than they did against Kodust.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, I'll have to say Usos just for that.
Alright.
Just to disagree so we can have some, you know.
Some showdown?
Yeah, some showdown here and there. And I'll give it a, 3.5, maths?
3.5?
Yeah. Usos put on a good match. New Age Outlaws have a lot of, you know, nostalgia, you know.
Yeah.
They get winded after a while, but one of their partners is 50, so you kind of give them an out for it.
This is the match I feel that will be short.
Yeah, okay. That's fine.
So.
And again, not bad-mouthing New Age Outlaws, because it's very understandable for them to get winded.
Because they're 50.
One of them is 50, and the other one is, what, early 40s maybe?
Yeah.
Or mid-40s? Come on. Yeah, I will absolutely give them that out.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. Next up, we have Big E going up against Jack Swagger for the Intercontinental Championship. The newly named Big E. Yes. He's no longer a Langston, apparently.
No, he's just Big E.
I mean, you know, I guess he got disowned by his family.
Aw. Poe Big E.
I know, right? I'm pretty sure it wasn't his fault.
Did Caitlyn get the last name in the divorce?
Caitlyn? No. Fair enough, okay.
In the separation.
Oh.
Feels weird in my mouth, but Swagger kind of impressed me this week.
Swagger has been better.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's just because of his proximity to Cesaro.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt.
And I don't know, like, I keep having this feeling that maybe Jack Swagger is just better off being a perennial tag team specialist.
Yeah.
You know? Because some, you know, again, some guys are made for that. Because every time Swagger tries to go out on his own, no one cares. And it's not...
I mean, Swagger, it's, you know, it's this and his long-term tag teaming with...
Ziggler.
Ziggler, those are the ones he really call on. But it's like, both times Swagger has tagged with a guy who kind of was the breakout star,
right,
of the tag team. And, you know, current Ziggler status aside, the not-Swagger version has gone on to bigger and better things, you know, right, from that tag match.
Right.
I
mean, but yeah, lately I would say, you know, I don't despise him as much as I usually would.
Yeah.
Which is a win for him, so congratulations on that.
Mm-hmm.
He's not beating Big E, though. Yeah.
No.
I think Big E is going to hold it for a long time, and whenever he finally does drop the Intercontinental belt, it's probably just because he's moving on upwards.
Yes. I do feel like Big E is the kind of guy who's going to have a genuine run with this title.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, maybe he'll break the record. That's all you ever wanted.
I want someone to break that honky-tonk record so bad. Because, again, like I'm saying, the Intercontinental belt will forever be a joke until someone beats the Elvis impersonator record. Yeah, I know. Right.
But I'll give this one 3 to 4 stars. Like, I might be over-optimistic on just because I'm, like, not despising Swagger right now.
I'll give it 3 3/4.
3 3/4. All right. All right, fair enough.
For some reason, I can't give it 4. I don't know why. I don't know why. I can't explain why, but that's the way it is.
Out of 5, right?
Yes, out of 5.
All right, fair enough.
Next up, we have match we've all been waiting for seemingly forever, the Wyatt family versus the Shield.
Yes.
Some people pointed out that we didn't really talk about their stare down last week. That's because I don't get excited about a stare down. I'm sorry. It just doesn't do anything for me. And we've gotten a stare down before.
The last stare down I got excited for, like, oh, it's a stare down. The first, the lead up to the first Triple H Undertaker match.
Fair enough.
When Undertaker came back and was interrupted by Triple H coming back from nearly a year.
Right.
To just...
Because we knew Taker was coming. We knew that. We did not expect Triple H to come out.
Exactly.
That was a genuine surprise for me.
Exactly.
So, yeah. But yeah, I'm sorry. I don't get... Everyone, you know, the crowd went crazy, and I'm guessing that's exactly what WWE wanted. Mm-hmm. The crowd go nuts for these two teams to be face-to-face yet again.
Yeah.
But again, like, we got this stare-down before Survivor Series.
We did.
Which was the time to pull the trigger on that.
Yes, it was.
But they didn't.
No, they did not.
So, at this point, I believe they had already announced that they had a match,
mm-hmm,
before the stare down. I could be mistaken. So I didn't really, like, okay, fine, they're staring at each other. We already got the match, so we know it's going to happen. So I'm not getting all up in arms, or all, you know, I'm glad the match is happening.
The match is happening.
Yes. Do not mistake that for a second. I'm thrilled that the match is happening. But the stare down itself, I don't give a crap about.
I'll back you on that.
Okay. And then we got the exact same stare down this past week.
Exactly.
And then, you know, only for them to actually come to blows at the end of the show.
Yeah.
For seemingly no reason at all, except that they were in the ring.
Yeah.
It's like, oh god, these guys that we don't like are in the ring, let's go to the ring and beat them up. Like, that's pretty much what the end of Raw was.
I mean, that's the end of every third Raw. Like,
yes.
Don't kid yourself.
Right.
Yes, this is a match I'm thrilled for. I do feel like you missed the window and you can never quite hit that magic sweet spot again. Mm-hmm. Like, no, I'm thrilled for it, but, you know...
You think that this match would be bigger if it was back when...
You break a plate, you can glue it together, you're still going to see the tiny cracks, you know?
Unless you're really good at it.
But you know that the tiny cracks are there. And you can pretend they're part of the design, but the tiny cracks are there.
Okay, fine. What if you're really good at it? What if you're really good at it and you shuffle in with all the other plates that look exactly the same?
Let me compare it to this.
You'll never be able to tell.
Let me compare it to this. Daniel Bryan could win the Elimination Chamber, go on into the main event of WrestleMania. Daniel Bryan still didn't win the Rumble. You missed that window. And I'm not sure you can get that back. Daniel Bryan winning the Rumble was the moment there. I don't know if you can... Right. Like, everybody will go crazy if he wins the Chamber. Everybody will go crazy when he comes in to the main event of WrestleMania 30. But you missed him winning the Rumble.
Okay.
And I don't know if you can get that moment any other time.
Yeah, I mean, we got the moment with when he first won the championship.
Mm-hmm.
I still think him winning a champion... That's why I... Well, okay. Fine. I see what you're saying. But I think him being the challenger and winning at WrestleMania, that moment would easily supersede whatever moment you would have had at Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, I agree. That was the perfect time to pull that trigger.
Yes.
Fans wanted it. Fans were itching for it. Mm-hmm. And you didn't deliver.
Exactly.
Sure. But I think you can still reach those levels and surpass it. Even if it was at a different time than what you were expecting.
I think you can.
But with this...
I don't know how. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I can't sit here and be like, oh, here's how to make it even better than...
Well, it helps that, you know, Daniel Bryan is amazingly over with the crowd.
Yes.
So it's not that hard to drum up excitement over Daniel Bryan. You know, Wyatt family and Shield... They're a different story.
I felt like I was more excited about their existence at Survivor Series.
Right.
I felt like I was more excited about them coming to blows. I felt like there was storyline there
because
their inability to work together was going to lead to the inevitable confrontation.
Right.
I was like, here, this is where it's going to happen.
Well, and also there's a less of a all these convoluted thoughts in your head about the match. Mm-hmm. This one, you're going to be sitting through the match and constantly wondering, okay, well, if this happens, then that means this for WrestleMania and so on and so forth. You're not really as concerned about that if this happened back at Survivor Series because you're just there to enjoy the match.
Well, Survivor Series was the Wyatt family versus the Shield. Right. This is really the Wyatt family versus the breakout star Roman Reigns. The not quite as breakout star as he was initially, Dean Ambrose, that's probably going to break up, and those will be the feuds, and I hope Seth Rollins doesn't get lost in the crossfire.
Well, Seth is still Roman's, you know, buddy.
Yeah.
You know, he seems to have sided with Roman on most things.
Yeah. But it's a different dynamic. Right. For the Shield, mostly, it's a different dynamic.
Yeah.
Than the unified... There were two unified forces at Survivor Series.
So, yeah, that alone will cause a different type of match.
Exactly.
Right. So if this happened at Survivor Series, we would be more concentrated on just enjoying the match. And now, when watching it on Elimination Chamber, we're going to be more focused on what's happening and how does this affect these two teams going towards WrestleMania.
And, I mean... And it, like, I'm predicting Wyatt family. Who do you predict?
I'm predicting Wyatt family as well, because I'm assuming...
But that prediction is based around the fact that...
Because of the what Shield's going
to... The Shield is going to fight itself at WrestleMania.
Right.
It really looks like they're building up for the Shield to fight themselves at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
With Roman Reigns coming out as the theoretical breakout star of 2014.
Right.
Hopefully onward to a championship by the end of the year. That kind of feel.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Like, that's exactly what I see playing out here, because they've been dropping all of these, you know, somewhat subtle and then not so subtle, you know, seeds of Shield tension.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's completely what I'm thinking now as far as picking a winner.
Yeah.
So. But I'm still...
All that negativity aside...
Yeah.
Good, solid chance it's going to be a match of the night.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, it's going to be a really good match. Possibly a great match.
Yeah.
And...
I mean, the only other contender is the Elimination Chamber, and it has the unfair advantage of being in a chamber.
Right.
Which...
is...
Gets my heart in a flutter.
It's...
Just regardless of who's in the pods, cough, cough, Sheamus, cough.
Right, like, easily my... in my top three matches of the year.
Yeah.
Or gimmick matches of the year. Mm-hmm. You know, first is Rumble. Second could be one of the Money in the Bank matches. You know, if they suck that year, then Elimination Chamber will easily become second.
Right, right, right.
So yeah, we both have Wyatt Family winning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give it 4.5 masks, with that last 0.5 being an option.
That's fair, yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's pretty much right. I'm like, it's you're rocking a solid 4.5 right now.
Yep.
And I would not be surprised if they walked out with a 5-star match.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, and also theoretically, because, you know, we're expecting the Shield to break up sooner than later.
Right.
This is probably your one and only moment to really throw these two factions against each other.
Mm-hmm.
So go all out.
Yeah, and I'm glad that they actually did get around to putting this match together.
Yes, me as well.
So we move on to the Elimination Chamber match for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
Yes.
So we got Randy Orton, John Cena, Sheamus, Daniel Bryan, Cesaro, Christian.
Yes.
So Randy Orton's going to win this, right?
You think?
You got the storyline between, you know, two of Triple H's former best friends or whatever, and who's the authority going to back?
Yeah.
You got that storyline, like, already packaged and ready to be sent.
Yeah.
I would like for Daniel Bryan to be included in that match, because then you got,
The
guy that authority has been tempting to move their allegiance to.
Right. Well, you look at it in just strict who will win, trying to fill out the storyline.
Yeah.
You got Cena, Orton, and Bryan as maybes. No chance for anybody else.
Yeah.
Like, Cesaro kind of got over this week, but...
As much as we would love to see it, he's probably not going
to
win.
He has a chance to put on a very good show. That's his goal this Sunday, is to go out...
have a good outing.
And be the top performer in the ring, so that the next Monday, which a lot of people should be watching because they're getting ready to launch the network, Cesaro's goal is to have that crowd chanting for him like crazy... due to his performance in the chamber.
Yes.
Which is a genuine possibility, and that's what he should be aiming for.
Yeah.
But, yes, actual winner potentials, Orton, Cena, Bryan.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I haven't, like, I walked into this podcast not sure who my pick was going
to
be.
And to be fair, nobody expected Swagger to win last year.
Yeah.
Yo, so really... theoretically, anything can happen.
Yes.
Cesaro could win. Probably not, but you never know.
But Swagger was also... that was back when we had two championships.
Very true.
And one that they played it safe with, and one that who cares who had it.
Of course.
Do you think the WWE feels like they can... get the crowd behind a Randy Orton versus Batista main event?
Has that stopped them before?
It's WrestleMania 30.
I understand that, but they're going to put whatever main event they want.
I mean,
and you know, they're going to try to get their crowd behind them.
Yeah, and I mean, you know. Honestly, you know, you look at past WrestleManias, and you really look at the past, like, 3 to 4, because that's, you know, the regime that's, you know, in charge now.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the... I think The Rock being the main event of the last two kind of skews your, you know, pool of information, because, right. Of course, The Rock is going to end WrestleMania.
Right.
Batista is not The Rock.
No, he's not.
And I think the WWE knows that. And that'd be thrilling if they could, you know, do again, be like, this guy's back for the first time, and now the championship, here it comes, kind of situation. Daniel Bryan is who the crowd wants. months.
Yes.
Daniel Bryan defending at WrestleMania is a lot different than Daniel Bryan winning or going for the championship at WrestleMania.
Right.
Like, it's a thrilling moment. I don't want to take away from that if that should be the case. But the story was Daniel Bryan winning the Rumble and finalizing his journey that started when he was robbed at SummerSlam to winning at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Getting his championship back.
That's the story
at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
That's the story, and you didn't do it. Daniel Bryan getting his championship at this little road bump pay-per-view here and then having to defend it at WrestleMania is not the Daniel Bryan story that we're all looking for.
Right.
That being said, if you don't have Daniel Bryan win this, you have to have something amazing for Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania.
Either championship or something somehow even bigger.
They will yes your championship match out of the building.
Oh, yeah. Or no. Or no it.
Or no it.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm still puzzled as why they're not including Brock in this. You know?
Yeah.
It makes sense. He was, you know, yelling and, you know, just making really weird noises for a championship opportunity, and they just, you know, he beat up a lot of chairs and left.
Honestly, my guess is we're looking more at Taker and Brock.
Right.
And so we're just going to ignore that he wanted the championship.
Right. Which makes no sense, but whatever.
We've ignored bigger things than that before.
Oh, I know. But ignoring a Orton versus Sheamus match is completely out of the freaking question. Unless, you know, he pulls a Chris Jericho and just decide, and Brock comes and attacks Christian at the last minute and pops in the chamber himself.
Christian will be in two pieces.
At least.
If Brock attacks
I'll
Christian.
Give you an over under of four.
Oh, man. So, I mean, that's the thing. If you're willing to throw your hat over the wall, if you think they will commit to Daniel Bryan victory here.
I don't think. Again, I don't know. Maybe it's just me hoping that Daniel Bryan goes into WrestleMania as a challenger and wins the championship that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, that's such a more grand moment, a grandiose moment. Like
Daniel Bryan, it's the best Cinderella story underdog thing that they've had
in a very long time,
in years.
Oh yeah,
and to have your underdog being the defender,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't work.
Okay. So let's break this match down.
Okay.
Are you thinking that there's going to be any sort of shenanigans that will lead to any of these guys getting eliminated? Because I think there's one that's going to be very obvious, and that's Cena. He's going to get eliminated somehow because of a Wyatt family.
Because of the Wyatts, because they seem to be looking at Cena versus Wyatts.
Right. And, you know, there is, you know, yeah, the rumored match of Bray Wyatt versus Cena at WrestleMania.
Yes.
So I'm thinking either Bray Wyatt finds some magical way to get inside the chamber during the match,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, they cause some sort of distraction outside.
Oh, I hope they don't distract. I hate it when people get distracted.
Oh, I know, because that's what they did at Rumble, and it was the exact same thing. Like, they didn't actually get involved in the match, they were just distracting, and mm-hmm. Cena lost. So, I'm hoping that's not the case.
Especially if they distract him when he's safe in a cage. That's a little bit worse. Like, they need to magic their way in there the way Shawn did for Taker.
Well, yeah, Shawn was under the ring, and he slid the panel over and got
yes.
out. Yeah,
see that's acceptable. That's...
That would be now. What would be terrifying is if like, you know, whenever someone else is about to come out, they put the lights down and do little mm-hmm. flashy things.
Yeah,
and then it kind of goes, and then they light up on that one.
Mm-hmm.
That happens. The little flashy things start happening, but then everything goes black. And then next thing you know, they have the spotlight go on Cena, and somehow Bray Wyatt has found a way to get in the chamber with Cena.
Oh, I think they can totally do
that. That would be
I think they are.
That would be so damn terrifying.
I think they absolutely have that ability. Like these people
if that
are
happens,
creepy enough.
If that happens, I will lay my money down for WrestleMania for those two. That would be a fantastic way to jumpstart that.
No, I absolutely think that Bray Wyatt should appear in the ring and disappear out of the ring.
Oh, like after, like
Taker used to do.
Like, appear in the ring, go at it with Cena.
Do the Sister Abigail. Like, just one solid,
right.
Disappear out of the ring. Cena 1-2-3 pins while Bray Wyatt's sitting in the chair at the top of the ramp, rocking.
Interesting. All right, I'll take it. I mean, yeah. So anything along those lines, I'll be completely game for it. Like, I would actually be looking forward to a John Cena match at WrestleMania.
I mean, that's absolutely how I think that if they're committing to a Bray Wyatt, John Cena, WrestleMania thing, that's absolutely how it should be done.
Yeah.
So that means that once it's John Cena versus either Daniel Bryan or Randy Orton as the final two members.
Right. I have a feeling it's going to come down to Randy Orton and Daniel Bryan.
As to who wins?
No, like, they're going to be the final two.
The final two?
Yeah.
See, that's the thing that'll keep me invested to the end. Because as soon as one of those guys is out, I'm like, well, the other guy wins.
Right. Absolutely. As soon as it comes down to those two guys, then I think there's another chance for more shenanigans. Yes. Which more than one shenanigan in a match is a bit much. Because you're reaching into TNA levels there. But I do kind of see it coming. Like, some sort of authority screw job for Daniel Bryan yet again. So that then Bryan will have some sort of justifiable reason to be included into the match at Mania.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And so again, I don't like the double run-ins in a chamber match. But if that is the outcome, I'm completely okay with it.
So are you ready to commit to Orton?
I am ready to commit to Orton if Daniel Bryan is going to be included in WrestleMania.
Well, Daniel Bryan's definitely getting included in WrestleMania.
I mean, like, in the championship match.
Okay.
In the championship
match. But I'm saying you have to throw down a prediction right now. And I don't know, I still haven't decided, so we can still just talk more if you have more time.
I'm good.
You're ready to predict Orton as a victor?
Yes, I am.
Then I'll take Bryan, just so we have a difference.
Okay.
This is the most stressful pick that we've had to pick this year so far. I mean, it's been two pay-per-views, but this is the one where,
take a breather, buddy.
Multiple ways. I will say, I think that they're gonna stick the title on Daniel Bryan here and see where we go from there. Okay.
I agree.
All right.
All right. So that was stressful.
So
let's de-stress now.
Yes.
Into everyone's, I don't want to say favorite segment because we know what the favorite segment is. But it's fast becoming a beloved segment.
The segment that we enjoy that we shamelessly ripped off of another podcast.
You don't have to point that out every time. You could just say that it's our segment that we like to do.
We didn't even change the title of it.
Well, that's not my fault because I don't know what the podcast you're talking about. You're the one that came up, you're the one that introduced the segment and used that title.
Pop Culture Happy Hour, it's an NPR podcast, it's great. Let me just plug them real quick, even though they're bigger than us.
NPR, okay.
I don't want to steal from National Public Radio.
Oh, dear Lord, what are they going to do?
I don't know. I don't even donate when they ask for it.
See?
I should. When I go and take their segment, we should at least credit them.
Fine.
But no, you should listen to Pop Culture Happy Hour. It's good.
Not instead of Classy Ring Attire, though.
In addition to Classy Ring Attire.
There we go. But yes, this is things that we are happy for. Joel, what is one of the things that
you... All right, so wrestling related... Okay. We're within a week of the network.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm relying too much on it, but the network is like my band-aid for fixing everything that I feel bad about wrestling right now.
Right.
I just had this mentality of like, make it to the network.
That way you can go on the network and watch things when, you know, when times weren't so bleak.
Right. I can watch whatever I want on the network. Right. All the, you know, pay-per-view mass is, you know, over and done with.
Yeah.
Like, I know exactly how I'm getting those from now on. I know... you know, just thrilling, exciting network stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's something like, it feels so much of a potential to completely alter everything. The window to renew the deal with NBC has passed. So there's a good chance that Raw and SmackDown will
eventually end up on the network. Yeah.
So, you know, it's just kind of this situation where, since they've announced it in, 2011, 2012, we're going to be making a WWE Network.
Yeah.
To watch it come to fruition, to be within a week, I'm really excited to see how it goes. It feels so all eggs in one basket kind of thing that just, I'm thrilled to see what happens. It's going to change the landscape. I feel like it can't not change the landscape. For better or for worse, I don't
know. Bro, yeah. But it's going to have a definite impact.
Yes.
Somehow.
So, I'm really excited for that.
All right.
And then in the not wrestling rated, I need you to go to the Google, and I need you to type into the Google, Twitch plays Pokemon.
Yeah, I heard about that, yeah.
It is this, I guess I would call it a social experiment.
Okay, see, I never got into Pokemon, ever.
That does not matter.
I watched it for a few minutes yesterday when some people posted a link to it on Facebook. I watched it for a little bit. I got the idea of what was going on. I was like, huh, that's cool. And then I just stopped because I don't care about Pokemon. But
So what this is they're playing Pokemon like Red and Blue. I think they're playing Pokemon Red.
Yeah. I know that much.
And it is being played by everybody in the comment section. There is a bot that translates the comments. You type in down, up, left, right, BA, start, select, one of the Game Boy buttons. And it inputs that, and it plays that. So the entire comment section, everything that's being typed into there, is what is controlling this character.
Mm-hmm.
This is an amazing train wreck social experiment in anarchy.
Yes.
That's going on. It doesn't matter that you don't play Pokemon. This is the closest thing to a real life version of that infinite number of monkeys with an infinite amount of time and an infinite number of typewriters creating the works of Shakespeare.
What?
That's a thing.
Okay.
You ever heard of that?
No, I have not.
It's the theory of inevitability.
Okay.
It's that if you have monkeys in a room with typewriters with enough time, eventually they'll just pound out the works of Shakespeare. Just through randomness, eventually this will happen.
Like, okay. Like the words consecutively? Yes. Like, just end up, like, beginning to end complete works of Shakespeare?
Yes, eventually. If they have enough time, fine. Just pounding randomly at typewriters, that will eventually come out.
Theoretically, I can see how that would work. Okay.
This is that. All right. Enough people putting it, because so many people have been putting in these things, you cannot,
like, I can't even read the comments fast enough.
No, and it's lagging terribly. Like, if you put in A, it'll probably be about 40 seconds before it gets to your A, and that happens. So you can't effectively control it. So this character is running in circles while people are trying to do stuff. And
it's very slowly doing
it something. This has been going on for almost a week at this point. It's about halfway through the game being played 24 hours a day. But it's amazing, and just, you know, having it on another screen while I'm doing, I can't watch it all by myself. That's maddening.
Yes, it is.
But as I'm doing something,
maybe that's why I can only watch it for a few minutes.
If I'm doing something and I have it on the screen, I get really invested in it. It's really exciting. It's thrilling to have, like, I'm rooting for this community to beat this game, and they're trying so hard, and they're inching their way through it. And, like, tiny things, like successfully cutting down a tree, which is three buttons. It's, you know, you hit these three buttons, but they have to get these three buttons while the character's facing the right direction. So cutting down a tree is this thrilling victory for everyone. It's so exciting.
You do realize the Olympics are on right now, right?
Whatever.
Like, you know, curling, dude. Curling, come on.
Twitch plays Pokemon. It's been this fantastic ride. You can find communities that have started cropping up on, like, Tumblr and Reddit and these other things where they have started to create this narrative as to why this character is doing, like, the character keeps accidentally checking his inventory and using items at the wrong time. So, like, now this thing, which is called this Helix Fossil, it's like this thing that is just a random item in the game, has now become like this symbol for a deity to this character because he keeps checking it.
That's what that was. I saw a meme of that fossil, and I'm like, I saw, like, other Pokemon, like, you know, cartoons with it, and I'm like, what is going on? Like, I don't understand it. Okay.
Because the only reason explanation is that this is a deity symbol. So this guy has to keep checking to make for everything that he does.
So basically, checking his inventory is like saying quick prayers, like, oh, dearest fossil.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, no, it's a thrilling thing, and to watch these people make sense of this chaos, which they strive to do, is amazing.
All right.
Take some time out of your day, just put it on in the background for a few minutes. Twitch Plays Pokemon has thrillingly fulfilled my week fantastically. It's wonderful.
Okay. Well, I can understand why why you would need something to, you know, kind of spin your week, because we kind of were snowed in for a few days.
Yes, we were.
So, I know last week I said that I was happy that I was going to go see the family down my hometown. That didn't happen, because they got snowed in just before we did, so we were all kind of screwed on that point. So, now I'm going home next week.
Okay.
So, oh yeah, I meant to tell you that.
Oh, hey, thanks.
Hey, we're going to have to record the podcast early next week.
Live on air, oh jeez.
but of course, the big thing that I'm happy for is I'm turning 26 this week. Wait, when is this podcast going to come out?
Probably just in time.
So tomorrow?
Yeah.
Alright, so when you're listening to this, I will be 26. I'm not thrilled about that birthday, but that's more because of, you know, side stuff that comes along with turning 26, most of it being, you know, insurance and I'm not having, really related. And I don't have a full-time job, so there's that. But I, you know, a lot of stuff happened this year that I'm very happy for. I'm very thankful for this podcast. I'm thankful for this fool sitting next to me and all the crazy stuff that we have in mind for the podcast and for other stuff. So yeah, I'm happy for that. Wrestling related, I'm happy that we're getting more and more and more momentum behind Cesaro.
Yes.
Like now we're hearing rumor that's finally, after watching that match between him and Cena, Vince is, you know, finally behind Cesaro. Like, apparently, like, he according to backstage rumors or whatever, he's finally, you know, putting his faith in Cesaro, which is great considering, all the rumors that we were hearing last year around this time of just how he just didn't think Cesaro had anything of what it took to be a big star. So that's fantastic that he's getting that. Also, I know we've quote-unquote been on the road to WrestleMania since the Rumble, but that's more like saying that the day after Halloween is beginning of planning for Christmas. Like, those are the type of people that you really can't stand.
I love Christmas.
So, yeah, I know.
I know what you're talking about.
I know. I'm talking to a wall right now. I understand that.
August 21st is Christmas.
Fair enough. You know, but you're not really in that Christmas spirit just yet. You aren't. And really,
I get what you're saying.
Until after
Elimination Chamber is definitely the Thanksgiving of pay-per-views.
Exactly. Because
you got to get through it to get to the real fun.
Exactly. Which is confusing considering we already used that holiday metaphor calling Royal Rumble Christmas. And I always equate Elimination Chamber more to birthdays, but that's more just because the chamber always falls on my birthday weekend. And I like it be like birthdays.
I like Thanksgiving too.
I like Thanksgiving as well. So yeah, we're mixing all sorts of holiday related metaphors here. But I'm glad that we're finally going to get in that mode. Because it seems like we had been treading water for the past couple weeks.
Yes, it does.
So, we're going to get a big Raw after Elimination Chamber. I'm hoping for a good Elimination Chamber, for one. We're going to get a big Raw. We're allegedly getting Hulk Hogan and Undertaker.
That's the thing, is like, yeah.
Like, that alone is huge.
I feel like I'm really excited to talk to you guys next week, because we'll have Elimination Chamber to talk about. Theoretical people are back. Network first initial reactions will be there.
So maybe it's a good thing that we have to record the podcast early.
Like, I'm really excited about next week.
Yeah, me too. So, yeah, I'm very happy for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, despite all of our complaints that we've had in the past few weeks.
Yes.
The sun is shining finally.
I agree.
And the snow is finally melting.
Yes. Summertime, you guys.
Summertime.
All right. Is there anything else you need to...
There is nothing else. We do not have a mail sec this week, but that's more because of we weren't sure exactly when we were going to record, so there's a little bit of confusion on...
That was my bad.
No, yeah, it's fine. it's fine, whatever. I should have said something days ago about it, whatever. So, no mail sec this week, but absolutely send something in for next week.
Yes, and as always, you can follow us on Twitter, at CR Attire. We live tweet every Monday, appropriate Sundays. And with the network coming out, we're going to start doing some, you know, random kind of tweety thingies throughout the week.
Instead of us actually live streaming stuff, we'll just be like, hey, we're going to watch this on this day, so click play at this time.
Yeah, we're going to definitely do that. We're going to start trying to really get some good organized stuff with the network. Really excited about it, so now is the time. I mean, all before was the time, but now is really the time. Start following us on Twitter. It'd be great.
Absolutely. And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, stuff you want us to bring up on the mail sack, send those over to our email. That's classyringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes, so please check us out on iTunes. You get the latest episode every single week. Great kind of fun. You could also get us a rating of
5 stars.
Maybe write a review. That kind of stuff really helps out the podcast. Just helps everybody out. Makes the world a better place.
That was so zoo radio pun. Like, not pun, but like wacky schmackety do type stuff. Sorry.
Wacky schmackety do.
Yep. And if you are listening to us on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you, and we'll include it in the mail sack as well.
Finally, we do continue WrestleManias. I know we've been a little slack on WrestleManias. I'll take the blame for that.
Good.
It's my fault. It's still my fault. But starting very soon, we're going to be back full swing, starting to pound out the WrestleManias. And again, iTunes is the way to find those WrestleMania episodes. So be sure to follow us on iTunes.
Absolutely.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah. We'll be right back.